Welcome to the Wampa's Lair Podcast. Deep in the bowels of the frozen ice caverns of Hoth, our hosts, Carl Eclair and Jason Hunt, discuss all things Star Wars. So join the conversation and hang out here in the Wampa's Lair.
Everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of the Wampa's Lair Podcast. This is episode number 229, Oh Star Wars Day. I'm, as always, one of your hosts, Jason Hunt, and with me, the Kanan Jarrus to my Chirrut Imwe, we have Carl.
I just gave myself the most epic entrance ever. I mean, if I'm going to be Freddie Prinze Jr., I mean, Kanan Jarrus, I might as well get some Force theme.
You know. Of course, you know, it really helps that I've got both my 6-inch Kanan and Chirrut right there next to my computer. So, you know, that helps in making my decision here.
Happy Star Wars Day, everybody.
Happy Star Wars Day. Merry Christmas. I hope you're all having fun around the Christmas tree and... Oh, wait, it's not that holiday. Never
Happy
mind.
Life Day. I'm kidding. It is every Star Wars fan's favorite holiday today. May the 4th be with you if you are listening to us today on the 4th of May. It is Star Wars Day. Irregardless, happy Star Wars Day all the same.
Yes. I'm excited. There's all sorts of cool, fun stuff. That you can get and buy. Of course, I'm sure this is the second biggest day, shopping day of the year for Star Wars fans, other than Force Friday.
So, I know. We don't get the sales that we get like we are today on Star Wars Day. There's so many, like StarWars.com is doing a bunch of sales. You know, Amazon does stuff for sale. It's kind of cool how much love we get for Star Wars Day.
It really is. It's becoming almost a national holiday. It's an unofficial official holiday.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of unofficial official stuff, we have yet again another patron sponsor for this episode of the Wampa's Lair. So we want to give a shout out and a thank you to Royce Gengler, the unofficial official sponsor of this Star Wars Day episode of the Wampa's Lair podcast. So Royce, thank you so much for your contribution on our Patreon. Thanks for supporting the show and thanks for saving a Wampa.
Yes, yes. The Wounded Wampa Project greatly thanks you for your contribution to helping armless wampas.
So, Jason.
Yes, Carl.
Doing anything exciting for your Star Wars Day?
Unfortunately, no. I'll be at work. So,
will you be able to listen to some Star Wars music or a Star Wars podcast while at work?
Not at work, no, but I will find some time to listen to Star Wars music or something during the day, that's for sure. I'm also making plans to visit my local Barnes & Noble to pick up the Guardians of the Whills book sometime this week. Because that's going to be cool, because that's got stuff about Chirrut and Baze, and I need to know. So, yes.
Need to know. You just kind of stopped there. I thought you had more to say. So
I need to know about them. I need to know their history. I need to know more.
Yeah,
more.
I read a review for the book today, and a spoiler-free review, and because it's like a young person's book. It's not even YA. It's not even young. You know, it's not even like young adult fiction. It's like middle school.
Yeah, it's a young reader's.
Yeah, novel. But I heard it was still really good. Like, there's really great information. I'm sure it's going to read very quickly because of the audience it's written for.
Right.
But yeah,
I don't care. You know,
honestly, like when it got announced, I was super excited, and then when I learned it was for like middle readers, I was completely unexcited. And then after hearing all the great reviews, I'm like, all right, I'll give it a look.
Yeah, no, a lot of the middle reader books are actually not that bad at all. Greg Rucka has written a couple of them, and he's the author who's writing the Guardians of the Whills one. He also wrote the Before the Awakening, which has the three short stories of Finn, Poe, and Rey leading into The Force Awakens, and that was actually pretty good. So I own and have read that. So
yeah, I never read that book. So, yeah, I have no opinion of him, but I've heard nothing but good things. So
good.
But, yeah, I know. So we're obviously, in case you don't know, we're recording this the night before Star Wars. It's Star Wars Day Eve for us.
Right.
I know as soon as we're done recording, I'm going to sit down in my Star Wars room. I put a TV in here and I'm watching The Empire Strikes Back tonight. That's how I'll kick off the festivities. And then I'm going to watch Return of the Jedi when I wake up in the morning.
There you go. It's a great movie to wake up to.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that.
That's your alarm clock in the morning.
I just got that. I was like, what are you doing?
Ewoks.
Oh, my God. I love you. I wish I just had Wicket to like wake me up. Oh, Yakuta.
Yep, yep.
Oh, I would love that. I would love. Akiata. So good.
Minga, Tinka, Chibuki, Yuki.
I love the scene when Leia lifts him down off the log and she starts walking one way and he's like, Chibuki, Yuki, Chibuki, Yuki. And he like waddles off the other direction and she follows him because he knows what's up.
Yup, yup. Yup, yup.
Oh, man. I love Ewoks.
They're great.
They're wonderful.
They're but little balls of fluff that it can eat your face.
You know, I think we need to get Ian McDiarmid. It's too bad he's not from the States, because if he became president, I'm sure he would make Star Wars Day a legal holiday.
Yes.
We got to get George Lucas in office.
Legal.
Yeah, we got to get George in office. Let's just, everybody on the next election, just write in George Lucas.
Write in George Lucas for president.
And then George can make it so. Oops, that's a Star Trek thing. but
every presidential speech will start with,
tomorrow's flannel day.
I declare flannel to be the dress code of the Congress.
You know Dave Filoni will be vice president.
Oh, I know, right? Yeah. You got the flannel and the hat in the White House. That would be now. That All would right. be something.
And Lawrence Kasdan can be Speaker of the House. So. But anyway, for those of you who are listening today on Star Wars Day, or even if you're listening the day after, I hope you got to do something Star Wars related, whether it was throw on a podcast, i.e. The Wampas Lair or others, listen to some Star Wars music, watch a Star Wars movie, play a Star Wars video game, something I hope to help you steep yourself in your love of Star Wars on this glorious day. And I've noticed, Jason, over the years, how big Star Wars Day has become. I mean, while it's certainly not like a legal holiday in any way, for Star Wars fans, it's a legit holiday.
It really is. It's become huge, and it's become a huge marketing push, too. I've noticed that, too. You know, everyone's like, oh, Star Wars Day, May the 4th be with you. Let's sell Star Wars stuff because people buy that. And I'm like, well, yes, I will. Yeah. Why, thank you for putting my stuff on sale so I can buy it at a reasonable price. Here's my money.
I mean, that's the thing, right? If you think about it, like, our culture is obviously like all about marketing and economics. So the fact that Star Wars Day gets all this love from like Amazon, StarWars.com, like all these online websites, seem to recognize Star Wars Day. So it's definitely got itself as a legitimate part of our cultural identity now, which is pretty fascinating.
It really is.
Even if you're not a Star Wars fan, just like culturally to look at it, what other movie franchise has a day like this?
Exactly. You don't see a Marvel Day.
No. No,
you don't. What would be Marvel Day?
Right. And what would be Star Trek Day?
Nothing. Stardust. Something, something, something.
Yeah.
You know.
Let's talk into our nipples. So anyway,
Lord of the Rings Day, a Tolkien Day. I mean, I'm sure there's some people who would love that, but I mean, there's, right. What would that day be?
Yeah,
Tolkien's birthday. But anyway,
anyway,
I don't know. But yeah, the fact that Star Wars Day, and it kind of just grew without like any real cause, any real driving behind it, as far as I can tell. I mean,
doesn't maybe get much more
a little bit, but
doesn't get any more grassroots than that.
I know, right?
On this episode of celebrating Star Wars Day, Jason and I are going to just kind of look back at some like big concrete memories we have that we absolutely love about our Star Wars experience. So it's a little bit of a like my Star Wars story type trip, if you will.
It's a nostalgia trip.
It's a little bit of a nostalgia trip. But this, I had a lot of fun putting together my notes because I was shocked by how many of these concrete moments are within the last 5 years.
Yes.
I really thought so many of them would come from like my early experience of Star Wars, but yeah, well, I mean, we'll get into that later. There yes. are certainly some from my young experience, but this was a lot of fun to put together. And of course, as we're talking, I hope this has you guys all thinking about some of your favorite concrete memories about your Star Wars fandom and your experience of Star Wars. And well, as always, we're definitely going to invite you guys to share those with us at the end of the episode. But before we hop into this topic, we had a contest in the last week for the episode to win a copy of Joe Hogan's sold out celebration print, Django's Finest. And we challenged you guys to email us in to name as many of the 65 clones. Joe said one doesn't count because it's kind of on the side. 65 of the clones from Joe Hogan's print. And we had a winner correctly identify 56 of the clones. I sent the list to Joe. I forwarded everything to Joe. He was kind enough to check it for us. And even Joe said that was amazing. He was shocked at how well this person did. So the winner of the Joe Hogan celebration print contest is Ben H. I don't know Ben's last name. It just has Ben H in his email. But Ben, congratulations on winning Django's Finest.
Woohoo! Yay, Ben!
When I saw his name, I just wanted to go, Ben! Han Solo.
Ben!
I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Oh my gosh, that reminds me. Kyle Avery has a Kylo Ren costume that's pretty good that he has worn to Phoenix Comic Con. And Joey Letson wants to one day follow him around in sort of a Han Solo vest or Han Solo jacket and just randomly yell, Ben! Throughout the convention and see what happens.
Oh man, Kyle is the tallest Kylo Ren ever.
Tallest and skinniest,
yes,
Kylo Ren.
Yes, he is a very skinny man.
He is.
But one more thing to get to before we hop into our topic itself. We had a real fun matchup. It's been a while since we've done an official Wampuzzler matchup because of the This Is Madness tournament we ran back in April. But we pitted two classic Clone Wars era characters and a great little duel. So we had Embo versus Fives. And what said the Larians, Mr. Hunt?
All right. Yes, the Larians have spoken. And we've got quite a few responses here. Jeffrey Fish on Facebook, Jeffrey Fishbach says, gotta go with Embo. Renee Tajima-Bier says, Embo. Brian V. Klein, Embo. Cody Murphy, Fives. William Wolson, Embo. That hat, yo. Travis Magruder, Embo. Sorry, Fives. Dave Broadway says, Embo. Fives is toast. Francisco Tudela says, Embo. Adam J. Taylor, Embo. He snowboards on his hat and has a pet Anuba. Fives is just a dude who looks like a million other dudes. our buddy Jazz says, got to give it to my boy Fives with a big heart. Because, you know, Jazz is a 501st guy. Isaac Recksteiner gives a rather lengthy explanation supporting his pick for Fives in a very scientific way, noting that he is a literal derivative of Jango Fett. Although I think his, I think this response was the victim of autocorrect, and what was supposed to be Jango Fett came out Jangle Fat.
yeah, might as well be. I mean, in my opinion, Embo takes the cake even on Jango Fett. Jango's a has been.
Yeah, well, we'll see about that. Jeffrey Beaumont says Embo. Michael Morris says this depends 100% if Embo has Merrick, that's his Anuba. If yes, he wins. If no, the day belongs to Fives. I gave that to Fives because we just had Embo and Fives in the matchup image. Joe Hogan says there's only one or two clones that could go toe to toe with my main dude Embo. Fives is awesome, but wouldn't even stand a chance. And then on Twitter, at Dewey the Mailman gives it to Fives all the way. And thanks for reminding me of the tragedy of Fives. Sad, sad episode. At Balls in Play says, Fives, Embo is a chump. How do you take that, Carl?
it's all right. The numbers are speaking for themselves.
At Matthew1640485 says Embo. At JediJack13, our buddy Jackson, says, I think that Fives beats Embo because Fives is a BA. And then at Reeby's House, Mike from at Reeby's House says Embo. So that gives us a final Larian tally of 12 for Embo and 7 for Fives. And I'm sure Carl is about to give Fives the greatest defense ever here. So sit back, relax, and pull up a chair.
I give like 10 votes to Embo. I was so upset that Embo got knocked off in the first round of our This Is Madness tournament. I was like, all right, I got to bring him in. And I was like, okay, I'd put him against Cad Bane or Boba, but he'd definitely lose to them because people have such a thing for both of those bounty hunters, which I don't get. Embo does some of the coolest stuff. Granted, Cad Bane does do really cool stuff.
Yes, he does.
But Embo does remarkably some of the coolest stuff in all of Star Wars. He's got that great hat. He's awesome with his bowcaster. And he's like an incredibly gifted martial artist. Fives is great. No doubt about it. Fives is my favorite clone trooper. I think Fives would definitely put up a good fight, but at the end of the day too, clone troopers fight better together than they would individually, yes. Right? Like that's part of their training. That's part of how they're programmed is they're not individual fighters. I mean, think of like the Spartans, right? Like Spartan army, like they fought better as a unit, not individually.
Right.
And I think the same is true with Fives. Like, if you had Fives and a group of his friends, yeah, they would probably take Embo down. But one-on-one, I think Embo spends his whole life fighting in solo combat. So he's going to be more skilled at that to begin with. And we just see him do so many incredible things in his limited experience in Clone Wars. And heads up, spoiler alert, but if you haven't read Empire's End, Embo's in it. So the dude sticks around for a long time. He's not some noob who gets knocked into a Sarlacc pit or whatever happens to Cad Bane. I love Embo. And I think he is one of the most BA characters in all of Star Wars. So, yeah, definitely hands down, I go with Embo. And even to say even more, like even that Fives is a clone of Jango, I think Embo would wipe the floor with Jango. And I know people would be like, well, then why didn't Count Dooku get Embo to be the clone? Well, because Palpatine hates aliens. So pretty simple. You're going to get a human. So,
I also am going to pick the bounty hunter here. Embo is definitely a very skilled fighter. Fives is a very capable soldier, that's for sure. But this is a one-on-one contest, and in a one-on-one contest, Embo, I believe, clearly has the advantage. The general, that hat that can do just about anything, which is just amazing. Characters with great hats are always good in my book. That's why Cad Bane's pretty cool. I'm going to give it to Embo. Come on, the guy's voiced by Dave Filoni doing a really terrible French accent and gibberish. So, it's when you got Dave Filoni as part of the character, you can't really lose. I'm going to give it to Embo as well, which gives us a final tally of 14 for Embo and 7 for Fives. So,
excellent. Embo has been justified.
There you go. Yeah, the big reason why Carl brought Embo back for this matchup is because he wanted some redemption for him.
Yes. Yes, I still think when we did our This Is Madness tournament, he could have beaten everyone on that list except for like Vader, Dooku, and Maul, and Savage, because we see him get beat by Savage.
Right.
Oh my God, I love Embo. That's why my cat's named after him.
Exactly.
So. Embo has a very neat little cameo role, though, in Empire's End. So if you haven't read it and you're thinking about reading it and you like Embo, get excited. It's not huge, but it's just really cool to see him in there. I got so excited when I saw that. I got very excited. So Jason, let's wax nostalgic for a bit. What do you say?
I suppose we should.
So as per usual, here on the Wampas Lair, whenever we do a list of any kind, we always happen to have some honorable mentions. And you have one more than I do, so I'm going to let you kick the party off.
All right. So, of course, you know, top five, two honorable mentions.
Real quick, you know what I forgot to do, Jason?
What did you forgot to do?
I forgot to say Happy Star Wars Day. There we go.
There it is.
Now we can properly start.
Now we can officially do the topic because we've done the Fode and Bead. all right. So my first honorable mention, I was also surprised at how many of these things happened much more recently in my fandom. But that being said, my first honorable mention goes back to the beginning. You know, the first time I saw Star Wars. You know, this is the moment I became a Star Wars fan. And of course, it's even more memorable to me because, you know, I've told the story a couple of times on the show before. 2 weeks before seeing Star Wars for the first time, the special editions in 1997, January it was, we were at Walmart doing some shopping. And, you know, we're going through the sporting goods section, which is fairly pick clean because Christmas had just ended. And there's a toy sitting on a very empty shelf. And of course, being seven and curious, I went to go check it out. It was a Star Wars micro machine. And I looked at it and, you know, there were spaceships and weird people on it. And I was like, oh, that's weird. Star Wars. I'll never like Star Wars. And I shoved it to the very back of the shelf and walked away. Of course, you know, 2 weeks later we go see the movie. My life has completely changed. And Star Wars, from then that point onward, became like the number one thing. So it was the number one thing for me. So it was pretty funny. Totally ironic, and I will never ever live that down in my own personal mind, so I have to include it here. But you know, my dad always says he remembers, you know, looking over in the theater, watching me watch Star Wars and just see things open up in my mind and my brain and go, oh, something will never be the same again. And he was totally right. So so honorable mention, the first time ever. So
yeah. You know, I'm sorry, I just added an extra honorable mention too. So okay. I figured that might happen. But I'll give you my first one.
Okay.
And I'll mirror you. It's a kind of a very similar thing. It wasn't my first experience of Star Wars. But it was my first concrete example that Star Wars could be for me. So, and I've told this, a lot of these stories that you and I both will probably tell tonight, we've probably told over the 5 years we've been doing the show, but
right,
whatever. To anybody that's new, have fun. To those of you who've been with us since the beginning, hope you still enjoy it.
right.
But
take this trip down memory lane with us.
Right. But mine is when I first heard about the relaunch of the Power of the Force Kenner line. And I was in the mall with my babysitter, and which, now that I think about it, man, how old was I? Because okay, all right, I was nine, so yeah, that makes sense that I have a babysitter in the mall with me. Yes. And yes, we were in the bookstore in the mall. I don't remember what it was called. I think it was called Walden Books. It doesn't exist anymore. And I was looking through the magazines, and I saw Star Wars Galaxy. It was, you know, a magazine I'd never heard of, but it was published by Topps. I'm sure a lot of you folks know what I'm talking about. And it was a 15th year anniversary magazine for The Empire Strikes Back. And I still hadn't even, I don't even think I'd seen, yes, I had seen The Empire Strikes Back by then. And I was really excited just by like the cover art was so cool. And I picked it up and I'm flipping through it. And, you know, I came to the center spread, which was this article all about the relaunch of Kenner doing this new Power of the Force line action figures, which, as we all know, is the He-Man line. But
yes,
when I was that age, I didn't care. I thought they looked awesome.
Right.
And I had played with the vintage toys before that, and I thought these looked better. And I'm sure like every OT fan right now who grew up with the vintage toys is screaming blasphemy. But but remember, this is my, you know, this is me growing up with these toys. So I'm reading the center spread, and my babysitter's like, all right, we got to go. And I was like, oh, I'm not done yet. So she bought me the magazine. I was so in love with her. And the whole car ride home, I'm just like you know, reading every word of that article, reading all these like behind the scenes information about The Empire Strikes Back. And I think the reason it stands out to me so much is because it became very real to me now that I was going to have Star Wars toys to play with. And as we all know, I've still yet to meet anybody who's gotten into Star Wars at such a late age that playing with toys wasn't part of their experience. I'm sure they're out there, but I've yet to experience anyone like that. But being young and knowing that now, like, I was just starting to get into Star Wars, and again, like I've said this before, I was under the impression that they were doing this for me, right? Like, right. I just started to like Star Wars. Well, of course they're going to make new toys. I need something to buy that's just for me. And you know, it was that first sense of ownership. And again, Star Wars fans, we know that sense of ownership over the franchise. And this was my first experience of that, was getting to know that I was going to get new toys to play with. That's such a grounding part of the Star Wars experience, is being able to play. So that's, oh, yeah. That's my first one.
Very cool. Very cool. My second honorable mention is, this is going to be really weird that this is so low on my list, but we'll get into why later. And that's going to be Celebration 6 that we did in Orlando.
Not even on my list, so that's fine. So,
it was my first step into a larger world in terms of Star Wars Celebration. And the fact that it was the first time I had traveled out of state by myself with my own money to go to something like this. So that was kind of big in and of itself. But the fact that I got to do that, traveled with Kyle Baca, Kyle Avery, and then met up with you. And it was just, there was so much that, you know, fell together in such a really cool way. For Celebration 6, you know, we got to hang out with the Blantons and Steve Glosson and, all those great people. And we got to see Mark Hamill when we didn't think we were going to. We got to see all these cool panels. And, of course, you know, the big one was the Clone Wars Season 5 preview panel, where we just lost our minds. And then, you know, George Lucas came out. So that was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's... just the whole idea of doing something like that was something that, you know, was always like, oh, that would be cool to do someday. And then I literally made it happen. So it was so cool, so exciting, and I'm really glad that it happened. And, you know, glad that I got to see your lovely face for the second time in my life.
Well, don't forget all the complimentary breakfast we got.
Well, you know,
that was where I fell in love with complimentary breakfast, but that's a different episode of the podcast.
We need to have an episode of Dex's Diner here.
Oh my God, can we?
I'm sure Dex would be very offended at the quality of the food of the hotels.
Probably, but luckily I'm easily pleased.
Yeah, not enough grease for Dex's taste, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's for sure.
What about you? What's awesome. Your second honorable
Yeah,
mention?
Well, you know, there's Celebration 6 is, I'll say this now, Celebration 6 and the most recent Celebration Orlando, neither of them made my list, and it's not because they weren't great experiences. They're just other things that I remember with a little bit more fondness. But that being said, my next one is actually another one from my youth. And this isn't like one specific time, but it's a specific thing that we did multiple times. And again, I've mentioned this on the show before. But it was during the winter months growing up in upstate New York with lots of snow. I'd wake up in the morning and watch The Empire Strikes Back. And then I'd, you know, ask my brothers, be like, let's go out back. Let's go build Echo Base. And we'd, you know, go up into the woods. We'd build like a snow fort and call it Echo Base. And we'd set up this really elaborate ion cannon with this massive log that we found. and then we used our sleds as snow speeders to retreat from the imaginary AT-ATs. But again, like just the vividness of there's this ditch that runs down the middle of the woods that at the house I grew up in, and the ditch was like a natural trench structure. So I used to just pretend like as I was like leaning against that trench wall that I would always just pretend like here comes the AT-ATs, and it just felt so real to me. And the urgency with which we like hopped onto the like sleds and just booked down the hill to get away from them. There was always this sense of urgency, even though there was literally nothing behind you. It just, again, just the power of imagination that, you know, a child can have. And also, you know, the power of imagination that Star Wars can give you. So
mm-hmm.
truly wonderful the mind of a child is.
I love it.
So that's my other honorable mention.
That's good.
So I guess we'll hop into the official top five.
Yes, the official top five. And I'm going to kick it off with my number five being Star Wars in Concert.
Oh, my God. How did I forget about that? Well, probably because I went alone. So,
well, I went alone, too. But this was one of those things where I'd had a huge weekend. Let me just start out this way. Been like a really packed like 10 days. Two of my best friends got married a week apart from each other. One of their weddings was up in New Hampshire, so I went up to New Hampshire for his wedding, and then I came back and then spent the next week at the, you know, getting ready for my other friend's wedding, which I was in the, you know, the wedding party for. And so I was like basically a week straight of just wedding stuff. And I was in Austin at the time for the wedding. And San Antonio was my home, which is like an hour and a half down the highway from Austin. And on the day after the wedding, you know, after everyone's leaving and stuff, Star Wars in Concert was having their last show in Austin that weekend. They were in Austin that weekend. I was like, I'm going to go to this because it might be the only chance I ever get to see this show. And so I'd bought myself a ticket. After, you know, everything was all said and done, I left the hotel. I went and took myself to Star Wars in Concert. I did bring a very goofy-looking Darth Sidious costume that I promptly took off halfway through my time wandering around because I was embarrassed because it did not look nearly as good as some of the other stuff. And I walked around, saw some of the costumes and the prop exhibits that they had there. And then I got up to my seat, which was way up in the balcony because that's what I could afford. And I was sort of a little bit by myself. I had a nice little cushion around me from, you know, people. So I didn't have anyone squeezed up against me. And I just sort of sat there and took in this entire concert. Anthony Daniels hosting it, the music playing, the light show, the screens showing Star Wars in, you know, living color, basically. You know, it was amazing. And I remember just sort of sitting there, soaking it all in and going, oh, this is just amazing. And, you know, crying during Princess Leia's theme being played live in person. You know, it was truly amazing experience to just sort of sit there and take this all in after, you know, a week and a half solid of just go, to just sort of have a chance to relax, do something for myself, take it all in, and just enjoy Star Wars and the music that it brings us. So I loved that. And it's, you know, while I love doing Star Wars with my friends, you know, people like you, Carl, Star Wars is something that even I can just have for myself, too. Mm-hmm. And that was sort of encapsulates that aspect of Star Wars for me. So that's why it's my number five.
Nice. Well, I can't believe that's not on my list. Also, I saw John Williams conduct the Boston Pops All-Star Wars music last year, and that's not even on my list. What the hell's wrong with me?
I don't know, Carl.
But I just wasn't thinking of it. Again, whenever I make these lists, I just write down what immediately comes to me, and I just assume those are probably the fondest things. There's so many other, right? Like, if we had a top 10, it changes the game. But
oh, completely.
Someday we should go back to some of these top five episodes and do, you know, 10 through 6. You know, get ourselves to be able to talk about some of these other things a little bit more. But I really quickly, just since you just brought it up, I also went to Star Wars in Concert alone. It was my second year living in Boston. It was the first time I ever went to the Garden, which is the big like Boston arena right in the downtown. And I went by myself and I figured, you know what, since I'm going by myself, I'm going to break bank and get the best, like one of the best seats. I was right on the ground floor. And remember when they like shot up those flames during some of the songs? I could feel the heat of them. It was so cool.
That's awesome.
And the thing that I remember most about it, two things. One, it was the only time I ever teared up during the main theme, because the main theme just, I mean, yeah, I like it, but it's not one of my favorite Star Wars pieces just because it's like everywhere, you know what I mean?
Right.
But I remember tearing up just because, again, it was the first time ever hearing it live like that. But also, was when I, because I went like super early, because like, you know, they had all those props set up out in like the, you know, arena area.
Yeah.
So I got there like 2 hours early or something. Like as soon as the doors opened, I was there. And I mean, since I was by myself and had no one to talk to about it, like I was pretty much done in like a half hour.
Right.
So I went in and I sat down. I don't know if you remember this, Jason, but they were over the sound system. They were just playing like sounds from Star Wars. Like they had like dewbacks and like just the sounds of like Endor, like the creatures in the background, like the occasional like Ewok would make a chatter sound. There was no music. It was just the sounds. And I remember at one point I just closed my eyes and I felt like I was literally in the Star Wars universe, which was so cool.
Yeah. I do remember that. That, you know, they sometimes a ship would pass over.
Yeah. It was so cool.
It was really neat. It was very cool. I do remember that. That was really awesome. Yeah. So
that was me cheating and talking about my Star Wars concert experience.
So what's your number five?
My number five is actually Force Friday from last year.
Nice.
It was the first time I ever did a Toys R Us midnight release. I remember, you know, Revenge of the Sith was the first time I was old enough pretty much to just do it because, like, I had a car. I had the ability to. I mean, I had just finished my freshman year of college. But I just didn't because I didn't really have interest in buying toys. Not because it was like, oh, toys are stupid. It was just I was like, I still loved Star Wars, but I was just kind of past that point of like, I don't need toys.
Right.
So the only other like the next time to do it, obviously, was Force Friday last year with Force Awakens coming out. And I remember like I was going with my girlfriend at the time, and you know, before we even left the house to go over there, she was, you know, she's so good about it. And she's like, hey, let's watch Return of the Jedi before we go. And I was like, okay. So like we threw on Return of the Jedi, absolutely like just got us in, well, at least got me in the mood. I got really excited. We drove over there blasting Star Wars music the whole way. We pull up and there's only two people in line. I'm like, perfect. Like I'll definitely get anything I want. And, you know, we get into line and the line starts filling out. And this is where I met my friend Greg. You know, he was in line right behind us. He was there by himself. And I just started chatting with him. I told him about the Wampa's Lair. He started listening to the show, which is how I then got in touch with him. You know, I friended him on Facebook and now we're extremely good friends. So it was
just a cool guy.
He's a very cool guy. Yeah. It was just such a great night, and it was awesome getting to share that, with the girl I was dating at the time. And, you know, she was always really a good sport about things like that. And, you know, getting to meet Greg, like just getting to talk to like local Star Wars fans in the city. It was just so much fun. Like we were doing like trivia in line. I got interviewed for the local NPR station. Like it was just so much fun. Another one of those conscious moments of like, wow, I'm an adult Star Wars fan and I can do these things when I want to. Like it was just, again, like kind of like that sense of ownership. Right. Like I'm not a kid anymore. Like I don't have to rely on my parents to take me to these things. Like if I want to go to this, I'm going to go.
Right.
So, yeah, that's my number five.
That's awesome. Number four for me, we're going to go back to 2012. The date was October 30th. And this was the big Disney buyout announcement that, you know, not only were they buying Star Wars, but that we were getting new movies and stuff. And I distinctly remember that I decided to take that day to not take my car to school, to ride my bike, and not, you know, worry about how long it was going to take me to get back home, and just sort of take my time. And I distinctly remember by the time I got back home, my phone had completely blown up. With people saying, oh my gosh, did you see, did you hear, including about 15 messages from Carl saying,
yeah, respond to me, man.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. I was riding my bike home from school like you do in the fifth grade.
That was 2013.
Yeah, well, 2012.
That's right. Yeah, so we'd only been doing the show for
it was right about a year.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. And
see, again, Jason, just like picking up that Power of the Force line magazine, Star Wars was like, we've got to give more to this new Wampa's Lair podcast.
Exactly. Exactly. But it was just one of those things where everyone was just talking about it and so excited. And you could literally, you know, I could literally feel the excitement and the energy coming through my phone. It was that palpable. And of course, Carl and I, we jumped on, you know, Skype and recorded a quick response episode and sent it out. And it was just amazing because all of a sudden Star Wars wasn't over. We were, you know, yes, some of the comics and the books were still going. We had the Clone Wars, that was going at the time, but all of a sudden Star Wars was back in a big way. And it was one of those things where, you know, and it didn't really fully sink in until much later, but you know, Star Wars could conceivably go on forever, you know, which, you know, is either good or bad, depending on how you look at that. But it's one of those things where all of a sudden we were getting the big three back. We were getting Star Wars in the movie theater again. Star Wars was back in a big way, and it was just amazing. And everyone was on cloud nine, you know, especially right then. And so that's still...
Speak for yourself. I was on Cloud City.
Excuse me. But yeah, no, it was just one of the most exciting days in Star, you know, single days in Star Wars. So it's still so imprinted in my memory that I had to include that. So yeah,
everybody was just running around outside going, "Law."
I wish that would have been amazing. Oh my gosh,
that was an amazing day.
It was.
Yeah. It's not on my list.
I wouldn't think it'd be on many people's list, but that's something that's definitely very imprinted in my mind. So I had included.
Right. Yeah. And it, you know, I don't know if you experienced this, Jason, but I remember on that day, the first person that told me was Chris Smith, who, again, like he is the Obi-Wan/Yoda to my Star Wars podcasting experience. I absolutely love that guy. The creator of Sarlacc Pit podcast, who stayed with us just recently in Orlando.
Yes.
But Chris was the first person to text me. Mm-hmm. And then, like, you know, I started hearing from, again, just like the Star Wars family, which I'm going to talk a little bit more about a little later. But, you know, like being plugged in this way is so freaking cool. And what I noticed is obviously that day, you're just talking with like all your close Star Wars family friends.
Oh yeah.
And then like as like the next day trickles on, that's when you like, you know, like your cousins or like your random family friend or a coworker is like, "Hey, did you know Star Wars was bought by?" It's like, "Yeah, I knew like the second it happened." Like, right?
Right.
Have you ever noticed that? Like I noticed that sometimes with like what I call secular Star Wars fans. Whenever there's like big news in the Star Wars world, obviously we know this pretty much within probably the hour of when it's announced.
Right.
But then you've got like, you know, these just casual onlookers who know you're such a hardcore Star Wars fan. Who like will bring it to you like 24 hours later. They're like, "Hey, did you know?" And it's like, yeah. Like, do you see half my wardrobe? Like, I know.
Right.
And I'm not knocking them, right? Like these are like casual friends who aren't Star Wars fans, but they'll be like, "Hey, that's cool. Did you hear about this?" And it's like, "Yeah, I heard." They're like, "Oh, I figured you did." But right. But again, it's just nice because they're obviously making that point of connection.
Right.
All of our friends, even outside, you know, our non-Star Wars friends, they know we're the Star Wars person in our family or in our friend group.
Oh, yeah. Totally. That's not a secret.
Yes.
By any stretch of the imagination. So what's your number four?
Mine is actually seeing The Phantom Menace in theaters.
Nice.
And the reason for that is, again, it was the first time I saw a new Star Wars movie, obviously, in theaters. Like, yes, I'd seen the special editions, but only once. And they were it was a really cool experience, but nothing really stands out to me. A New Hope does, just because like there were so many like more significant changes. Like Empire and Jedi don't have a ton. But you know, those stood out, but it wasn't anything particularly awesome. But Phantom Menace was magical because you had a new story coming out, right? Like even when you saw the special editions, you knew what you're going to get. Like, yeah, there was like a new scene here or there, but you knew what you were getting. Phantom Menace, right. We had no idea. Again, I mean, pretty much just like Force Awakens to a degree. I mean, Force Awakens is even more of like, we don't know. But even Phantom Menace, like, we didn't know. I mean, we knew eventually Darth Vader was going to have to come about, but good guess it wasn't going to happen in episode one.
Right.
Although some fans probably wanted that.
Let's make Darth Vader happen now.
Yeah. The movie opens and it's like this kid named Mannequin. Oh, all of a sudden he's Darth Vader. Now let's just kill Jedi for three movies.
we get the pan down from the crawl. And we just, you know, see, you know, little kid.
Yeah. So basically Anakin just has asthma. So
right.
But anyway, you know, the build up to that movie was so amazing. And I remember standing in line with my cousins that got me into Star Wars. And I think I don't know if my parents were there or not. I know my uncle was. And just the energy in that line, you know, a lot of people dressed up as Darth Maul, this new bad character that nobody knew anything about. But like everybody was just super excited to see him. You know, you waited in a long line. I mean, again, now we have the advantage of in a lot of theaters pre-buying our seat. So like, who cares what time you show up, right? Like, which is great. I honestly, like, to some degree, I certainly prefer just being able to pick my seat and walk in 10 minutes before the movie starts. But there was something so electric about waiting in line. And I know, again, anybody who's listening that grew up in the 70s and 80s, like, you knew this probably in a way that I can't even quite experience, you know, with Empire and Jedi more specifically. But Phantom Menace was just such an awesome feeling for me. I mean, I was a, you know, 13-year-old kid, just super excited about this new movie coming out. Again, there was a sense of ownership of like, yes, this is going to be my Star Wars movies. Like, these are my Star Wars movies now. And it was really exciting. I was there with the people that got me into Star Wars. And then we finally get into the theater, right? And, you know, you still sit in the theater for a little while they run some like commercials and ads. And then finally the trailers start. And I'll never forget this to the day I die. Somebody just shouted out, "The first transport is away." And the crowd just exploded. I have still not yet experienced a movie crowd like I did at the first viewing of Phantom Menace. I didn't at Force Awakens. I certainly didn't at Rogue One. I didn't at any of the special editions that I can remember. I didn't at episodes 2 or 3. Phantom Menace had the most loud crowd I have ever seen in a movie theater, and it was electric.
That's awesome.
And I'll never forget, too, that first time I saw it, there was literally no disappointment when I left that theater, but even in the midst of the movie, as the movie progressed, I was already like, this is my favorite Star Wars movie. and when we got to the final duel, when Darth Maul, that door opens and Darth Maul's there and they derobe in front of each other, my heart was racing. I was on the edge of my seat and I literally had goosebumps. Literally. I was so excited about that scene. It had never happened to me in any movie in my life. And, you know, Phantom Menace just provided that for me like nothing else could. So that is why it's in my list.
That's awesome. Yeah, the build-up to Phantom Menace was huge. But, you know, because I came to Star Wars a little bit later than you, I was introduced with the special editions. I kind of knew going in that Phantom Menace was coming. Because I remember driving home from one of my viewings of, it was either probably Empire or Jedi. I remember my dad telling us, "You do know they're making new ones now, right?" And I was like, "Oh, okay, cool." And it was supposed to take place, you know, before the ones we just watched. I was like, "Oh, okay, cool." So, you know, I knew they were coming as soon as I got into Star Wars, basically. So I didn't have quite the buildup that, you know, you or other people would have. But yeah, no, that was a huge buildup. I just remember seeing, you know, all the promotional stuff everywhere.
Yeah, it was everywhere.
You could not step into a store or a restaurant without something Phantom Menace related just slapping you across the face.
I know.
And I was okay with that.
Yep.
So, yep. All right. We got number three?
Number three.
All right. Number three for me is the most recent memory that I have on my list, and that being one from last month, Celebration Orlando. A lot of this stuff revolves around people, obviously, because Star Wars is, you know, has been a vehicle that has brought people together for me in my life. And Celebration Orlando It was just really fun, you know, getting to see Carl again, obviously, getting to see old faces, old friends, and meet new ones. And then, you know, one of the big highlights for Celebration was getting to have our meetup, where we got to, you know, see and meet some of, you know, the Larians and, you know, put faces to names that we've seen on, you know, Facebook or Twitter, or people that just don't comment but listen all the time. You know, it's really cool, really neat to, you know, connect that way and do that sort of thing. And it was really awesome. And that's probably the moment that is really highlighted for me from this past Celebration that's, you know, really stuck with me in a more meaningful way than anything else, was that meetup. I'm still really touched by the fact that so many people decided to show up for our little meetup behind Joe Hogan's booth. But yeah, no, Star Wars Celebration Orlando, you know, you gotta love the celebrations. But this one was just, it's so high on my list right now because it's so recent. This may settle down farther on my list later on, but, it's been such a, you know, fun ride getting there and, you know, doing it, you know, I had to include it. So It's number three.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I mean, it's not on my list again, cause this isn't like a top 10. I'm with you. That was awesome meeting so many of the Larians at that convention. The only downfall of that convention was not being able to get into like the big panels, you know, that left such a sour taste in my mouth. And not like, again, I did not go away from there not having loved it. But yeah, I mean, it was just a little disappointing not getting to get some of those big things in while we were there.
Right.
But of course it was super fun. But my number three is a Celebration memory, but it's Celebration Anaheim from 2 years ago.
Aha.
Like you said, Jason, I mean, the best thing about Star Wars now, and to me, it's not shocking that most of my memories have to do with the past 5 years. It's because so much of my Star Wars experience, and if you want to know more about it, listen to my Star Wars story by Scott Rifen. I did one at the beginning of the year, which was so much fun. But anyway, so much of my early experience of Star Wars was very individualized. Early on, it was definitely sharing it with my two cousins. And I will get into that a little later. You know, basically for a good decade of my early Star Wars experience, it was very individual. And like you said earlier, Jason, like still now, like I still do a lot of individual Star Wars stuff and I love that, but it's so much more fun sharing that with others who share the same level of passion, right? Like, I don't want to sit down and watch a Star Wars movie with somebody who's just like, yeah, I'll watch it. That is not the right answer. You know? Celebration Anaheim was such a wonderful experience. Again, because it was getting to see you for that was the third time I got to see you. But I think what stood out the most to me about Celebration Anaheim was the house we stayed in. Yep. Staying in a house with you know, Mike and Crystal Cohen, Matt Kroenke, Kyle Avery, and the Blantons, you know, that was so much freaking fun. We had dinner together every night, you know, which was so much fun. So much of my life has been, so much of my formative part of life was discerning going into a religious community, but obviously I never did. That time in Anaheim, I felt like I was in a Star Wars religious community for a week, and it was awesome because that's what we were. We were a community. We were such a family that week. It was awesome. Like, we came home together. We would, you know, there was obviously things going on every night we were there, but we didn't do any of those things. The Blantons did a few of them, but like the core of us, like, we stayed home. We cooked dinner together. We watched that trailer like a bajillion times, you know, the Force Awakens trailer, which, by the way, at Celebration Anaheim, we did get into that panel. We did get to see that live with, you know, 10,000 fans around us. Got to cheer and cry with all of our good friends. As Han said, Chewie, we're home. And I felt home. Like, you've really felt at home. And then, like I said, just going back to that house, that was the highlight of Celebration Anaheim. You know, the panels were awesome, just like they've been at every convention. The show floor was awesome, like at every convention. But the best part was living in a house with six or seven of my best friends for almost a whole week. You know, just coming home every night, breaking down the panels of the day, discussing Star Wars in such a hardcore, in-depth way that you just don't really get to in your normal life was amazing. So yeah, I mean, like, that was, it was such an intimate family encounter. And if I could have that every day, I would. It was absolutely amazing just getting to share that love and that passion with my closest, some of my closest friends. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's my number two, is Celebration Anaheim. It's still, you know, at this point, kind of far and away the best celebration experience I've had because of that. And of course, kicking off the weekend officially, you know, with the new trailer, you know, first of all, meeting some of the cast, seeing BB-8 roll on stage, you know, Mike Cohen and I nearly freaked out over each other. It was kind of funny. But then that trailer that kicked everything off, Chewie We're Home, kind of just encapsulated the entire weekend. Because, you know, like you said, we got to go home at the end of the day with, you know, our little Star Wars family.
Yeah.
And it was just amazing. The connections that were made there, the fact that we just got to commune together, you know, have a little community, it's beyond anything else that you could, you know, plan for in going to a celebration. It was just one of those things where we're all like, hey, yeah, let's get this house together, because that'll, you know, help save on costs and everything, and it'll be easier because it'll be, you know, within walking distance of the convention center. We're like, oh yeah, yeah, let's all do that. And then it just became one of those things where every night, that was one of the things you look forward to the most, was going back to the house and talking about everything from the day and just enjoying spending time with everybody. So, yeah, no, it's probably the highlight of my convention going experiences, bar none. So, yeah, that's my number two.
That makes sense. I mean, yeah. It was amazing.
Yeah. What's your number two?
Well, it's Fan Days / Starting the Wampa's Lair. To me, they're one and the same.
Right.
And this is our creation story. Genesis 1-1.
Wampa's Lair 1-1.
Yes. But not yet.
According to Carl and Jason.
Right. But yeah, I mean, Fan Days, and we've told the story several times over the 5.5 years we've been doing this.
Yeah.
But, Jesus. You know.
So, has it really been that long? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been 5.5 years. Because October was the 5-year mark, and that was 6 months away, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. A little over 6 months away. So it's 5.5 years. Anyway. But Fan Days, again, came about because of my, you know, well, he wasn't a good friend at the time. I barely knew the guy, but Chris Smith and Matt Kroenke invited me out to Texas. They had a free VIP pass. Chris was like, you can stay in my room. I got an extra, you know, I got extra room in my hotel. You know, I was like, you know what? That's fine. And it was my first really, again, like adult ownership of my Star Wars fandom, because I've always wanted, you know, I knew what celebrations were. I'd heard of them. I knew there were Star Wars conventions. I'd never been to one. I'd never been to a Comic Con or anything. But, you know, it was my first year of teaching, and I was like, you know what? I really want to do this. Like, I really, really, really think this will be a lot of fun. And I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm doing it. I'm buying a plane ticket. And a week later, I bought a plane ticket and I flew out. And it was my literal first step into a larger world, because, you know, Fan Days was certainly very different from Celebration. There were not 60,000 people there.
Right.
Even our first Orlando Celebration, Celebration 6, I think there was like 34,000.
Something like that. Yeah, Anaheim, it wasn't that
like,
big.
Anaheim was like 43, but I know this most recent one was over 60,000. I mean, just shows how much the Star Wars fandom has skyrocketed.
Yeah.
That being said, though, Fan Days was the perfect first encounter with like that Star Wars community, because of how small it was. Everything that happened was very intimate. Like standing in the lobby the first night, you know, I got to meet Steven Stanton. He was the one who gave me my VIP pass because Chris Smith got it through his like publisher or like his like handler. I don't know if that's the right word, but right. Like the woman that kind of is like his head secretary.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
And he, you know, I told him I was like his, that woman was like really into like the fact that I was a theology teacher at the time. And Steven Stanton's like apparently like kind of big into his own faith life. And he was really excited. So he was talking to me a lot about what I do. Like, I mean, that was the first night. I'm standing there in the hotel lobby chatting up with Steven Stanton. Now, I didn't really know much about Clone Wars at the time. So I didn't really get how cool that was until now.
Right.
And, you know, that night, you know, I met Matt Kroenke and his family. I met Joe Hogan that night, you know, and I met the Blantons that night. And then later that day, I met you. And I was like, this guy is awesome. And, you know, you, myself, our friend Brad, and JC Cox, we drove over to, was it Five Guys or Whataburger?
It was Whataburger.
Yeah, which I'd never heard of because we don't have those in the Northeast. And, you know, we're sitting there, and JC Cox was in his Jedi Knight costume.
Yep.
You know, he's a pretty avid cosplayer, and he's got some great stuff. And we're sitting there at a Whataburger. I'm sitting there in a Star Wars shirt, which up to that time, I still didn't wear a lot of Star Wars stuff in public, with another guy, two other guys in a Star Wars shirt, and then a freaking Jedi Knight.
Right. Know?
And, you know,
Burgers and fries.
Eating burgers and fries, talking about nothing but Star Wars. And again, like having those in-depth conversations that I was like pining for. And, you know, and that's when I went around the table, like, what's your favorite Star Wars movie? And I, you know, three out of the four of us said Empire Strikes Back. And then you're like, Return of the Jedi. But it's a close one between that and Attack of the Clones. I'm like, who the hell are you? And like, I was just so intrigued. And, you know, your love of Star Wars was just as adamant as mine, but very different than mine. And I really liked that. You know, you and I just like, we just clicked that day. And the whole rest of the convention, we did everything together.
We did. It was so much fun.
You know, driving around in your Millennium Falcon car that was literally falling apart.
It was. It was a hunk of junk.
It was. Yeah. But it was awesome. Like, it was perfect. she may not look like much, kid, but she's got it where it counts.
Right. I'm going to hold that story for a second.
Yeah, I had a feeling. But yeah, I mean, it was so much fun. Like, And I remember, like, the Sarlacc Pit was there doing, like, live video casts with, you know, folks, and I got to be on it, and I was so excited. And I still remember, if I go back and watch that video even now, you know, that was 6 years ago, and all I talked about in the video was how much I loved the community aspect. And that was my first real experience of it. Like, I knew it existed. Yeah. I knew that there was this thing called the 501st. I knew there was this thing called the Rebel Legion. But I didn't understand it. And that, I mean, not even that those two units, like, define the Star Wars community. They don't. They're a big part of it, but they don't define it. And I just really understood what it meant there. You know, and getting to see, like, J.C. Reifenberg's premiere of his Hughes the Force film with, like, a community of friends was so cool. And, you know, going to like a Clone Wars panel, and being at Fan Days like lit the fire in me to watch Clone Wars. Cause I remember Chris Smith had a bunch of these Savage t-shirts he was handing out from the Clone Wars. And he's like, you want one? I was like, who's Savage? He goes, it's Savage. I'm like, who's that? And he's like, oh, it's a new character in the Clone Wars. It's Darth Maul's brother. I'm like, what? And like, I mean, I was so out of the loop. I knew pretty much nothing about Clone Wars when Fan Days rolled around.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, like, meeting you, hanging out with you, walking the show floor, which is pretty much what we did most of the time. You know, we didn't go to a ton of the panels. But just, like, being around that Star Wars environment, it was so real. And it really did show me, like, what a community Star Wars is and the types of friends you can make in the Star Wars community. Because, again, these are all people who are so passionately in love with the same thing that you are.
Right.
And you know, and I'm just going to roll this right into even after that experience. Fan Days was the first time I didn't have post-con blues. You know, every celebration I've now had post-celebration blues pretty intensely. Right. And I think they get worse every time because I'm closer to all of you every time as we continue to do podcasts together or we Skype together. But at Fan Days, I left reborn, right? Like, and, you know, obviously we exchanged numbers and I asked you like on the last day, I was like, how would you feel about starting a Star Wars podcast? And you're like, I'm in. And I was like, sweet. And you're like, do you know how? I'm like, I do not, but I will learn. and I remember sitting there talking with Riley and Bethany Blanton about it. And, you know, Riley is such a great thinker. And he was like, well, what do you think you want to do? And I was like, kind of telling him what I wanted to do. And he's like, that's really cool. You should do it. He's like, I'm happy to help you out. And he helped me get started. And, you know, I remember it was like a few days after we got home from Fan Days, and I called you up one night and I was just like, let's do this. Like, let's seriously do this. And you're like, I'm totally in. And I remember just like hanging up the phone. I'm like, this guy is going to be like my best friend. This is awesome. And it was so like freaking fun. And again, like, this is what Star Wars is all about too, is like how it sparks that creativity. Yes. I had no idea how to make a podcast. I didn't even really have the equipment for it. But, and again, it was a slow build. Again, if you go back and listen to any of the early episodes of The Wampas Lair, you can hear how crappy the audio is and the awkwardness of Jason and I, because we're new to it.
Right.
It was so much fun. And it was like, finally, I have something to do with my Star Wars fandom, right? Like, I had an outlet from now on, and it's going to be here for the rest of my life. And it all started at Fan Days. I got plugged into this Star Wars family, and my life will never be the same again. You know, I never have to love Star Wars on my own anymore. I have a community of friends, a community of family that I can just love on it with. And it's amazing.
Yeah.
So it's shocking that it's not my number one, but when I get to my number one, I'll explain why. The number two and number one to me are basically tied, but I'll explain why in a second. But I know this must be your number one.
Oh, it totally is. It's totally my number one. I was initially going to try and break up Fan Days and the beginning of the Wampas Lair into two separate things, but I was like, nope, that can't happen.
they're one and the same.
They are kind of one and the same. And like you, this is my first convention. I'd gone to a toy fair, basically, with a friend earlier that year, but that was one of those things that we did in an afternoon, and you know, that was that. But this is the first convention I was ever going to go to, and I was going to go with this friend, but he had a work conflict that came up at the last minute, and I was going to go by myself. And I was like, well, I guess I'll do this. And I remember driving up the day before, and I make it halfway between, you know, I'm in San Marcos, which is about an hour and a half. About an hour and a half from my house, heading up the 5-hour drive to Dallas, Fort Worth area, and I blow a tire on the highway.
Oh boy
is right. And so I spent the afternoon putting a spare on my tire, driving a mile or two down the road to a discount tire, getting not one, but two new tires because they were another one was going to go soon if I didn't do something. Then, you know, spending $80 on that I was not prepared to do that weekend. And then, you know, finally make the drive up to my friend's house where I was staying and going from there. And so I was like, already this is just turning into an ordeal. And I was like, I don't know how this weekend is going to go. This is just crazy. But the next morning I went over there. I was going to meet up with JC Cox because I had talked with him on the Frontlines forums because we were both moderators there. We were meeting up there and we're kind of there in a sense to represent Frontlines, the Clone Wars podcast. We were going to meet up with Matt Kroenke. And so we found each other. We kind of wandered around a little bit, found the group of which you were already hanging out there with. And JC took off to go to a panel or something. And I'm standing there wanting to say hi to Matt and Chris, but they're interviewing Stephen Stanton at his booth. And I'm just going, well, I don't know what I'm doing here. Hi, I'm Jason. You know, and kind of introducing myself to you. I was so overwhelmed that first couple of hours. Like, I had no idea what was going on. It was so big to me, which is funny because now, you know, the conventions I go to are huge. But it was so big and so new, and I had no idea what I was getting myself into. But we just you know, like we said, you and I just clicked, and the rest is kind of just history. And I remember, you know, going to Whataburger for lunch, you know, with everybody, and you ask, going around the table, asking the questions, what's your favorite Star Wars movie? What's your favorite Star Wars character? And I remember taking a huge bite of my burger after one of my answers, and you just laughing and saying, I like this guy. And I was like, oh, good. I'm making friends. But the fact that you and I just sort of, we were inseparable the entire weekend was kind of one of those remarkable things. And I think the reason why we didn't have post-con blues is we were immediately like, let's do a podcast. Yes. And we didn't have time to think about the fact that we were missing the convention because we were so focused on what we were going to do with this podcast.
Yep.
And it was just one of those really neat things because that you and I kind of got thrown together because Chris and Matt had a full slate of things that they wanted to do. You know, interviewing some of the Clone Wars actors, you know, doing some stuff there from the convention. And so they had their own little schedule that they could do, but because we did, you know, they were the only ones that were signed up to that, none of us could go tag along and, you know, hang out there while they interviewed Ashley Eckstein or something, you know. But yeah, no, it was really cool, and it's still one of my fondest Star Wars memories. It is my fondest Star Wars memory of all time because it's what birthed this podcast, which has become such a huge part of my life the last 5.5 years, and has introduced me to one of my best friends in the entire world. So, you know.
Oh, man.
You know.
Oh, man. I feel bad it's not. I mean, again, like, my number two and number one are my favorite things for Star Wars, just in different ways.
Right.
And, you know, fan days and starting this podcast will change my Star Wars story forever. Right. Yeah. Like, it's made it so much better. It's made it a community family experience. But I'd have to say my number one, and it's not pinpointed to one particular moment, but again, kind of a broad thing. But it was playing Star Wars with my cousin Andrew, because that's what birthed my love of Star Wars. More than all these other experiences, none of these things would have happened had it not been for my cousin Andrew. And sadly, like, Andrew and I are not like super close anymore. I mean, I love the guy. He's a great guy. You know, like, he got married a few years ago and I got to be one of the groomsmen, which I was super honored with because we very rarely talk anymore. Not like we don't like each other, but we don't talk. Like, we're nowhere near each other, you know, very different things in life. But this is the guy that got me into Star Wars, and my fondest memories of Star Wars is running around the upstairs of his house playing Star Wars. You know, we rarely played with the action figures together. Action figures was more solitary for me. But what we did was, I mean, he had like this huge box of Kinects, which were like bigger versions of Legos. We would build different kinds of blasters, lightsaber hilts to use. Granted, he did most of the building because I sucked at it. I still do, like, with Legos and stuff. But, you know, I mean, just coming up with, like, you know, these elaborate plot points that we all did when we played Star Wars as kids, right? Like, okay, today's mission is we have to capture the plans of this new ultimate weapon the Empire's building. Or, like, oh, like, this rebel captain has been imprisoned by the Empire. We got to break into the prison and, you know, break him out. You know, all these just like simple plots that kids come up with. But the just the raging creative imagination those experiences brought out of me, I still look back at it as like some of the fondest memories of my life, not just of Star Wars, but of my life in general. And again, it happened because it was like this intimate bonding experience that I shared with my cousin Andrew. This guy was my best friend for so much of my life. He was like, I mean, I had two brothers growing up, but I liked him more than both of my brothers combined. You know, just a little mean, but it's honest. you know, sharing that with him just created a bond that we shared for the next at least 6 or 7 years. I mean, I was there every weekend and we were always playing Star Wars. And then we'd lay up late at night just talking about like the ins and outs of the Star Wars universe. Which then, you know, as we started to grow up, then it was talking about the ins and outs of like the girls that we liked. But like it was just this growing experience that happened with this guy because of our love for Star Wars. And, you know, playing like when I was a kid, you know, I played G.I. Joes occasionally. I played, you know, soldiers in World War II and, you know, Ghostbusters, Batman, Turtles, all that stuff. But Star Wars was magical. It was so different from everything else I played. And playing it specifically at my cousin Andrew's house was, even his house, it was like the upstairs was, it was like very dark. He always had the shades down in his bedroom. So no matter what time of day it was perpetually dark in his room. And again, like it, that's where my fondness for Dagobah grew. Cause like his room felt like Dagobah to me. And he had like this huge poster on his wall. He had two big posters. One was just an Empire Strikes Back movie poster. The other one was a big poster of Yoda holding a book, and it says, "Read and the Force is with you." This was like an old poster. And something about just being in that room, like when we played Star Wars, I felt like I was in the Star Wars galaxy. When I went over to his house, I was leaving this world and entering a galaxy far, far away. Nice. And that was just like, you know, they're just the fondest memories I have. And they're the most innocent memories I have of Star Wars, the most innocent memories I have really of a lot of life. And even now, Jason, you know, you and I have been doing the show for so long. I mean, and it's so awesome being plugged into the Star Wars universe. But I've also realized that some of the Star Wars universe isn't so pretty, right? Like some of those days of innocence that I had when I first got into Star Wars are somewhat like tainted sometimes by the negativity around Star Wars. And I am not trying to end this on like a negative note, but sadly, like you become aware of that stuff because obviously you're getting older. You're part of a bigger world. You're part of a bigger Star Wars community, but you know, you're just aware of like mean fans or like really arrogant fans. And it just, you know, that's when you like look back on these fond memories and you're just like, but this is what Star Wars is ultimately all about. It's about magic and creativity and spontaneity and imagination. I think I said that already, but like that is everything I knew playing Star Wars with my cousin Andrew. And you know, whether we literally had Star Wars music playing or not, because a lot of times we did, but sometimes we didn't, it was always going in your head. Like you just knew it. Yeah, I mean, that's why I still love Star Wars. You know, I mean, I know I will never have that again. You know, you can't go back to being a little kid again, but there's still something about Star Wars, something even a lot of times just doing this show with you, Jason. And this is what I love so much about the fact that it's with you is because like, in a way you're kind of like, you're my adult best friend in the Star Wars world. Like my cousin Andrew was the entry point, but you're the one that like continues that story for me in such a real way. And it's such a blessing to like have that, to have that, you know, shared love and intimacy through Star Wars. And that's really what you are. Like you're the perfect Star Wars playmate now, you know, like it's awesome, you know, and the end of the day, all of these memories are in some way about, you know, sharing that with someone else. That's all the top ones are, you know, those are the ones that stand out the most is because I got to share these with a best friend or a community of best friends. It's the best thing about Star Wars, man.
It is. It really is. And I can completely understand why that's your number one. I didn't have someone like that growing up, and I basically played on my own. You know, it was a very much a solitary, you know, in my own little world sort of thing that I did with Star Wars growing up. And so, you know, having somebody like that, I can totally see why that's your number one. And sometimes I wish I had that, but I'm glad I have that now. So in this sense with you. So, wow.
Yeah, I love Star Wars.
We did. So happy Star Wars Day, everybody.
Happy Star Wars Day.
May the 4th be with you.
So anyway, I hope, you know, obviously this is the nice thing about being able to do a Star Wars podcast, Jason, because even at the end of the day, if nobody was listening, that was still really fun.
Oh my gosh, it was terrific.
Obviously we are lucky enough to have folks that do take the time to listen to this. And I hope like as you were listening, this was, you know, bringing things up for you that you remember, you know, your fond memories surrounding Star Wars. And especially like today, as we start, you know, as we're celebrating Star Wars Day, to just think back on all these beautiful, wonderful experiences you've had because of Star Wars. And again, I really do invite you guys to like shoot us an email or, you know, comment on Facebook, whatever means you want, but like share some of your thoughts with us, share some of your fond memories. This is some of my favorite stuff about Star Wars. That's why I love the My Star Wars Story podcast that Scott Rifen does, because I love hearing people tell these concrete memories about how Star Wars was so influential throughout their life.
Yeah, totally. And I hope he has a new one out for Star Wars Day. That would be awesome.
Yes, I love that show.
I'm gonna check my feed in the morning. So, all right. My goodness. We got a couple of house cleaning things we got to get to before we end this episode. We, of course, announced the winner of one contest this week, but we got another contest going through next week. What are we doing? We got Chris D's sold out print, Watchful Guardian, which, of course, is Obi-Wan near the Lars homestead. And Carl, remind everybody what people need to do if they want to win this print.
Yes. So if you would like to win a free copy of Chris D's Watchful Guardian print, you need to record a quick audio clip to email into us of yourself either doing a Saw Gerrera line as Jar Jar Binks, or you could do both, or a Jar Jar Binks line as Saw Gerrera.
Yes. And we will listen to them all, and we will have Chris listen to them all, and we will all consensus and discuss which one we like the best, and we will pick the winner.
Yes.
So hopefully we'll get some entries here before we record next week, because that's when we want to announce the winner of this contest. So please, time is ticking on this one. Record yourself. Send it in. Because I'm eager to hear people's goofball antics on this one.
Yes, and we want to play them on the show. So please, you know, have fun with this.
Yes. Yes, please. Oh, my gosh. That would be so much fun. And unfortunately, I cannot enter. So don't worry.
Yes.
Don't worry, folks. You won't have to compete with me. I'm not allowed to enter this contest. So.
yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Yusagai's bomb bad.
Yusagai's bomb bad.
Oh, boy, got it.
Borgullet. 1 tons to lose 1's mind.
Very good. There you go, guys. Now you have some ideas.
Some ideas. There you go. All right. So yes.
So if you want to enter that, please email us, wampuslairpodcast@gmail.com. You know, just don't worry about the sound quality. Just record a quick thing, even with your onboard mic, and just shoot us a quick email with that.
Yes, that would be great. I can't wait to hear them. And of course, we also want to start a new poll this week. So we're going to jump back into some of our polls that we were doing, our favorite scene polls. And we're going to hit now, what is your favorite scene from Revenge of the Sith? So
yes, we've been working our way backwards from Force Awakens. I think we started that back. Goodness, we might have started that like around the time Rogue One came out. But with Rogue One coming out and then Celebration coming up, and the This Is Madness tournament, we've the poll kind of fell to the wayside.
Yes, so we're getting back to that. So, what is your favorite scene from Revenge of the Sith? And Carl, if they want to weigh in on that poll, where can they do that?
Well, like I said earlier, especially with the contest, shoot us an email, wampuslairpodcast@gmail.com, Facebook.com/wampuslairpodcast, or follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/wampuslair. And of course, check out our Patreon page. Support the show if you can. Patreon.com/WampaZer podcast. Also, next week, we're getting back to a little bit of form of the WampaZer. We're going to be back with Empire Strikes Back Act 2 in next week's episode of the WampaZer.
Yeah, so look forward to that. Anything else, Carl?
Happy Star Wars Day! La la!
And with that, we are wrapping up this episode of the Wampa's Lair podcast. This episode number 229, Oh Star Wars Day. For Carl, I'm Jason, and we will see you next time here in the Wampa's Lair. May the Fourth be with you.